The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
First and foremost, we're going to talk about the Northern Ireland Protocol and the news, as Quishock mentioned in the headlines, that Boris Johnson's government plan to publish and introduce legislation that would allow them to scrap parts of that protocol. Now, a number of reasons have been given for this by Boris Johnson, Liz Truss and others, a number of excuses. Most of them don't stand up to scrutiny. One is more galling than the rest, and it's the idea that because of political structures in Northern Ireland, there needs to be cross-community support for any fundamental change to society and politics up there. And that's fine. That is a perfectly legitimate position to take, that everything needs cross-community support, as long as it's your consistent position. And I don't think anyone can accuse Boris Johnson's government of taking a consistent view on this. I mean, where was the cross-community support for Brexit in the first place? Or cross-community support for leaving the single market, which necessitated the withdrawal agreement and the protocol? Where's the cross-community support for offering an amnesty to murderous soldiers in British uniforms? There's no cross-community support for that. The fact is, when Boris Johnson and co. talk about cross-community support, what they really mean to say is unionist support. And specifically the support of the DUP, the dinosaurs in the Democratic Unionist Party. Because you can be absolutely sure that if the DUP and unionism more widely supported the protocol, but it was Sinn Féin and the SDLP who weren't happy with it, there would be absolutely no talk of cross-community support or of the British government breaking an international treaty which they drafted and which they signed. There would be no talk of that whatsoever. The fact is, Boris Johnson and co, they do not give a fiddler's about wider community in Northern Ireland when they talk about cross-community support. They talk about and they care about the people they perceive to be their community. So we've moved on a long way from no Catholics need apply, but we haven't moved on as far as some people might like to think. That's just one of the excuses given for breaching the protocol or scrapping the protocol. The other excuse, another excuse, one of the other excuses is that the protocol isn't working for businesses in Northern Ireland. It's not working for the economy in Northern Ireland. Stephen Kelly is the chief executive of Manufacturing Northern Ireland. Stephen, I assume your members are really suffering.
Quite the opposite. The reality for very many in manufacturing is, frankly, they're having the time of their lives. Yes, there's problems in the supply chains from Great Britain into Northern Ireland, but all the evidence is there to prove the point that whilst exports from the UK to the EU have declined by 16%, exports from the north to the south have increased by 61% in 2021. And then a further 37% in the first quarter of this year. So Irish buyers are moving away from the island of Britain. And rather than buying from Birmingham and Bromsgrove and Brighton, they're buying from Belfast, Ballymena and Banbridge instead.
So what then is the view of your members when they hear, and it's not just today, they've heard this continually, this argument made by Liz Truss and Brandon Lewis and Boris Johnson and everybody in between, that one of the reasons the protocol has to go is because it is so damaging to business in Northern Ireland?
Well, I think it's a gross exaggeration that it's damaging to all of business. There's no doubt about it that if you're a business in the north that is reliant upon supply chains that come from Britain, and depending on the scale of your business, you have all the pain and none of the benefit because you don't export. The Northern Ireland economy is full of small to medium-sized enterprises. There's a small but a very significant and important amount of businesses where they get all the aggravation of what the protocol brings, but don't see any of the upside at all. Those people are as important as everybody else. Of course they are. But in a more macro sense, there's no doubt about it that the manufacturing community and others in the north are capturing the opportunities that the protocol presents as numbers that are continually coming out now begin to prove. I've already mentioned the export numbers on the island of Ireland. We know that the north is one of only two regions in the UK that has seen its economy grown to bigger than it was pre-pandemic. Manufacturing jobs are growing four times faster than the rest of the UK. Even in inflation, there's numbers come out every month on a regional inflation figure. And it shows that pre-protocol, Northern Ireland was consistently amongst the highest regions and above the UK average. But since the middle of last year, we've been consistently below the UK average and amongst the lowest regions for inflation. So The protocol is doing what it should be doing in some respects, but equally, there are challenges there on the Irish Sea that are absolutely fundamentally a problem for many parts of business, and we need to try to resolve those.
Yeah, and I think almost everybody, anybody reasonable, would agree with that assessment, that there are problems with the protocol, problems that need to be ironed out. I mean, how worried do you suspect your members get when there's talk, though, of kind of unilateral action and a scrapping of the protocol and, you know, even the phrase trade war being used? Now, it might be a remote possibility still, but it's more of a possibility today than arguably it was yesterday.
Well, they're worried because the protocol is benefiting them. They recognise the need for the protocol. They recognise that the challenge of where Brexit hits the ground between Northern Ireland and Ireland is the most difficult part and the most difficult relationship for the UK and the EU to manage in the long term. They don't appreciate the fact that the UK would take unilateral action to try to deal with that. They want to see conversation and discussion. They want to see agreement and consensus rather than staring down the barrel of a gun at each other. The reality here will be that the UK isn't going to suddenly shift to the middle of the Atlantic Ocean or into the Mediterranean Sea. There's always going to have to be a good relationship between the UK as a whole and the EU. And the way to do that is actually to work together, to find solutions and to find common goals. It isn't the way to do it is to basically put a wrecking ball through the relationship and the agreements that you've already made.
Yeah, and in a case of maybe fortuitous timing, or maybe Boris Johnson doesn't look at it that way, big order from the 26 counties from Dublin for buses from Wrightbus today. You wonder, would that happen if there was a trade and economic barrier between North and South, which is what some people suspect might be the fallout? Again, I hasten to add there's a caveat beside that. It might be, it might not be. But we are in uncharted territory. Tina McKenzie is with us as well. She's the CEO of Staffline Recruitment and Chairperson for Policy for the Federation of Small Business in the UK. Tina, do your members have a problem with how the protocol is operating?
Yes, I think that a lot of our, not all of them, and as Stephen says, and he talks a lot of sense, that, you know, there are definite benefits for the meat processing industry, dairy manufacturing. But there's no doubt that especially SMEs in Northern Ireland that are looking for their supply chain, which they've had from GB into Northern Ireland, have faced huge problems. And we've been talking about them for the last 18 months in terms of the bureaucracy, the extra paperwork, understanding the system and the extra costs. So SMEs particularly, and it is an SME economy here, are really finding it quite difficult.
And can you give us a sense, Tina, of what those problems are, you know, and how they manifest for the average SME in Northern Ireland?
So if you imagine your average little delicatessen in Belfast, who is used to getting a lot of goods, not just from Great Britain, but actually goods shipped in from other parts of the world that potentially come through agents in Great Britain and then hit their little shop in Belfast and usually just come over the Irish Sea, they now are having to fill in copious amounts of paperwork, and some suppliers in Great Britain are saying, you know what, it's only a small load. I'm not prepared to actually fill in the paperwork, even when the delicatessen says, we'll do it for you. No, 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 it's more hassle than it's worth. So they then cannot get their specific goods, and they may stock hundreds of goods in a small delicatessen and quite specialty-related goods, foods, and they just can't get them. And then they're left on their own. They don't have teams of people like big businesses to fill in all of this paperwork, to go around and read all of the rules. So for them, it's been an absolute, it's just been so difficult. So, I mean, for us, we've been highlighting the issues for the last 18 months, as I say. And I don't think it's about negotiation per se. I think it's about looking at where the problems are and seeing, you know, how we problem solve them and do it through a problem solving exercise and get the right people around the table. And that's what we've done with some of the other issues that have popped up. There has been movement between the EU and the UK government, but just recently there's been nothing, and that needs to change.
Yeah, and listen, we're going to talk politics a little bit later in the show about, you know, who is and isn't playing ball in terms of negotiations. But the same question I'll ask you that I asked Stephen. I mean, are your members, despite the fact that some of them might welcome kind of unfettered access to GB and a scrapping of all of that paperwork, are they worried about where things are at the moment and the level of distrust that currently exists between all of those negotiating parties, government in Dublin, Brussels, London, no government in Northern Ireland, of course, which is part of the problem in all of this, and the talk of, you know, looming trade war?
Look, our members are really trying to run their small businesses. And like the rest of Ireland, they're focused on the fact that they're trying to deal with this ever-increasing inflation, with energy costs, with a very high level of tax environment. And, you know, Northern Ireland did grow. And it, as Stephen said, it was one of two regions alongside London. But Northern Ireland is still down at the bottom in terms of productivity and a whole load of other measures when you compare it to other regions of the UK. So, yes, we're growing, but we've got a long way to go. So the small businesses here, they need support. And whilst they're busy trying to run their businesses, trying to get labour, we all know how difficult it is to get people employed right now, and trying, you know, they're all living after COVID with this high debt burden as well. It really shouldn't be for those small businesses to sit and worry about the politics of the UK government and the EU. It's on both parties. It is their responsibility to fix these issues and to get round the table and come up with practical solutions. It really is their responsibility, and they've got to do it.
Harry in Dublin on 5306 says the protocol will require a political solution, and the EU are negotiating at a legal, technical level. The Brits want a political negotiation. Irish media needs to stop bashing the Brits and letting the EU off the hook. GB to NI trade does not threaten EU internal markets. So says Harry in Dublin. Anyway, I suspect, Harry, plenty of people in Brussels and in the corridors of power in Leinster House might disagree with that assessment, but thank you anyway. 5306, the text number. Pat McCormack is with us as well. Pat is the president of the ICMSA, the Irish Creamery Milk Suppliers Association. Pat, what is your view on this latest move by Boris Johnson and his government?
Well, look, obviously we're non-political, so we won't make a political view on it, but we would certainly be hoping that, you know, he had a challenge to his governance in recent times and had a narrow majority, or a reasonably narrow majority of success. So hopefully, you know, common sense will prevail here, and that everybody will stand back in the cold light of day in Westminster, have a look at the consequences socially and economically to the proposals and vote accordingly.
I mean, you might give us a sense of the dairy market was very much a kind of an all-island economy before all of this, wasn't it? That's how it was operating.
Without a doubt, and it's still today it's an all-island economy with 800 million litres of Northern milk coming south to be processed. You have Stratry with an address in Tyrone collecting milk down as far as the Jack Lynch Tunnel in Cork. So it's very much interlinked, and you know they support each other from a viability point of view, and it's absolutely critical. And you know there's a huge level of anxiety out there, whether they're Lakeland or Glanbia or indeed Stratry, about any proposals to change the status quo that we have and enjoy today.
Because that was one of the big fears and one of the kind of hypotheticals put to people during the original negotiation over the protocol, or what we ultimately ended up being the protocol, was the Strathroy lorry, you know, leaving County Tyrone and coming down, as you say, as far as the Jack Lynch Tunnel and back again, and how that would work, were there to be some sort of customs checks on the border between north and south. It would make business incredibly difficult, wouldn't it?
Look, not alone would it make business incredibly difficult, to add significant expense. You have the bureaucracy of filling out those forms, and, you know, that becomes an industry in itself. But as well as that, you know, you have the logistics of waiting at various different points to be examined, and the huge costs associated with that, because, you know, it was mentioned earlier about inflation. Transport is one of those that has significantly inflated in recent times as a cost across our sector. So, you know, there'd be huge anxiety that there'd be further margin taken from the primary producer. And ultimately, I think from a Northern Ireland perspective, undermine that dairy industry for a future.
There would be, as you say, a very much a negative effect. There'd be a catastrophic impact on the dairy industry, specifically in the north, wouldn't there?
Without a doubt. And that's just what I've said, you know, to challenge its very future to remain viable. But equally, you know, it does dilute the costs associated with milk processing south of the border, bringing that 800 million litres south. So, you know, make no mistake about it. While they would feel maybe potentially terminal feelings up there, equally it would have an impact here for our viability as we move forward. in particular for the affected process. But I suppose, you know, we are part of the European Union. We'd like to believe that, you know, there needs to be trade around Europe, and that has included the UK right up to today and hopefully long into the future, because we are a significant exporter of dairy and beef, and the UK is a huge part of our market.
On that note, Pat McCormack, President of the ICMSA. Pat, thanks a million for joining us. Thank you as well to Tina McKenzie, the CEO of Staffline Recruitment and Chairperson for Policy for the Federation of Small Business in the UK, and Stephen Kelly, who's Chief Executive of Manufacturing Northern Ireland.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.